It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. Parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
There'll be parties for hosts and toasts and caroling out in the snow.
There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time.
And it certainly is the most wonderful time of the year. It is the 9th annual WWGH Radio Christmas Party Special. Boy, the gang is all here tonight, and we are going to have fun for the next two solid hours. In studio, we have Linda Sims, we have Sean Kraft, we have Pastor Craig, we have Terry Tackett, we have Mary Ellen Withrow, Glenn Coble, Mike Wilson, Buckeye Guy.
Hey.
The whole gang is here tonight for the next two solid hours. For your listening pleasure, and we are going to do the traditions we've done for 9 years. We've got 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, we've got Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus, and then in hour number two, this whole group turns into a choir, and we sing those wonderful, wonderful Christmas tunes live in studio, all a cappella, as we have done for 9 years. You're not going to want to miss that for love nor money, so sit back, mistletoes, mistletoes, and don't crinkle your face at me, Glenn. We're only a little bit into the show here. I don't have a script over here. Just missile plums and fairies and hot chocolate. It's Christmas time. Glenn, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I miss everybody down here. I really do.
Well, I wish we could say the same.
I know. I noticed the relief that I was going to leave tonight, not come back.
Now, Glenn, we have not talked since the fruitcake toss last Thursday.
Yes.
And you came again. I hate to bring this up, but you came for the second year a little inebriated to the fruitcake toss.
Not.
I smelled your drink.
I had a spicy thing in it.
Listen, one year ago, Linda, you were at the fruitcake
toss. My sister-in-law is listening to this show.
Now, hold on a second. Linda, you were at the fruitcake toss 1 year ago, right?
Yes, I was there.
A lady walked up outside who Glenn did not know from Adam and handed him a drink of something, and he just... shotgunned it.
I didn't want to be impolite,
but it was a bit of a
mystery drink.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but that fruitcake went crooked that night. And then this past year, Glenn showed up, and I said, "Well, he had a drink again. He's always got a drink with him at these events." And I said, "Let me see that drink." And there was a little.
Okay.
What was that, Glenn?
I don't know. It was spicy something or other.
Little spicy something or another.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
where'd you get it?
What I don't.
Somebody.
It was handy.
Somebody on the street.
Again?
Again, somebody just showed up. Well, it's not Christmas, but
hey,
you know
no.
what?
Oh,
Hey, I just learned the other day that you, do you know what the best alcohol is? Because a lot of, and by the way, if you drink during the holidays, do not drive, designated driver, or stay in your home, do whatever you got to do. But, you know, the best alcohol to put in your eggnog, which a lot of people do, is, I guess, bourbon.
Yes.
Better than Buckeye rum. Guy knows
old
about
school.
This.
Old school. My uncle used to do the same thing.
Bourbon.
Better than rum.
Rum.
Bourbon.
150 rum. 150 rum.
150.
150.
Whoa.
I think rum comes in 150.
And you
doesn't it?
Worry about me coming to that place.
Wake up at Valentine's Day.
I didn't do it. My granddad.
No, but I always thought it was rum. But it's bourbon.
It's bourbon.
Bourbon.
Okay.
Hands down. It's been that way for years, as long as I remember.
My goodness.
It was always a brown liquor for sure.
I did not know that it was bourbon.
It was always a brown liquor.
But not rum.
Not rum.
Oh, my.
Bourbon.
Well, I'll tell you, that's a trick.
Yeah. Tennessee sipping whiskey.
Is that what that is?
That's what
now,
it is.
Now, to the eggnog, how much do you use?
As much as you can stand.
What's the recipe on that? A pinch?
To taste.
Just a little taste.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can taste it, yeah.
Well, that's an interesting thing to know. Yeah. I did not know that. I always thought it was rum in your eggnog, not bourbon, but apparently it's bourbon.
I guess
bourbon.
You have a choice.
Yeah. But you got to put a little nutmeg on top regardless and do what you got to do.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
We are going to have Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus here in hour number one. We're going to have Twas the Night Before Christmas. And then in hour number two, we've got a whole host of songs here. And last year, we did pretty well with the songs.
Yeah, we did.
So I think we're going to do okay here today. And we've got the whole crew here. Now, Linda, what has this Christmas meant to you? What does Christmas mean to you in general?
It means family time, good times, shopping. It's a special, and it's a special, cheerful time. Should be.
I haven't given you my list yet.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
You got to get that out.
Yeah, yeah. I just love the... It used to be that people were more nicer to you during the holidays, you know, especially when it's snowing, it's coming down, you know, people smile and say, hello, how you doing? Yeah, can I help you? You know, not yet, though, not quite.
People are a little cranky this year, but maybe they'll come around. We still have time. We still have time.
Yes.
Glenn, what's the holiday mean to you, Christmas?
Well, like Linda, it's family, I think, but today I went to Kroger's, and I was really, really nice to the man in front of me, and I made a new friend. And I find Christmas is the time where if you can smile all the time, no matter how rotten people are treating you, it really makes the day go a lot quicker.
Put your hat on, Glenn.
Put my hat
on. Put your elf hat
on. Oh, okay.
There you go. That is a look. Mary Ellen, Christmas here, what does this mean to you this time of year?
Oh, I like the decorations. I like to look at how people decorate their houses, and I like all the trees and everything.
Now, are you still much of a decorator in your own home?
Not anymore. I used to be.
Now, when you were in Washington, because Washington, I think second probably only to New York, is one of the great places at Christmas time, what was it like in Washington in those days?
Well, the tree, you know, that they celebrate's right behind the White House, which is right catty-cornered from Treasury. And I would go to every one of the ceremonies. It was always important people there. And it was usually pretty cold. You just about freeze to death. But I remember I met Leanne Rimes there. I was in
Buckeye Chuck. He just fell out of his chair.
I went back into the tent because it was so cold, and I met her mother, and then Leanne Rimes came back, and she was just in the beginning of her career, and so that was rather interesting. But it was always great to see what they did with the tree. I remember it changed from one color to another, but they're not doing that this year. It's just one color.
Pretty standard.
Yeah.
Now, what was the White House Christmas party like?
Oh, it was great. So many trees, and it was just beautiful. Mm. Yeah. You go into every room, and it was just gorgeous.
Now, being in Marion back prior to that in the 1980s, 70s, what were Christmases like before the internet, before people got so busy with cell phones and texting and all that?
You know, I don't think they decorated nearly as much. I remember my dad decorated our house. He put up blue lights and And we were sort of the only people that had any lights.
Now, what was Christmas like as a little girl growing up?
Well, it was, I'd try to find the presents, and I'd locate those, and they never knew.
Now, did you have a favorite gift that you got when you were a child?
Yeah, a Betsy Wetsy doll.
Betsy Wetsy doll?
Yeah.
Very nice.
I've thought about that so many times, and I had more fun with that.
What is it about this time of year that just, we talked about people not being as nice this year as, but they still have time. There's still a few days left. But people do get nicer. They are a little more giving. They are a little, you know, they'll wear clothes they don't normally wear. They'll sing. They'll do things they wouldn't normally do. What is it about? I look at Glenn with his hat on, and I say, there's clearly things people wouldn't normally do this time of year. But, what is it about this time of year?
I don't know. You know, the ugly Christmas sweaters that people wear.
Right, that's
I think
true.
That's always so funny because, you know, they try to outdo each other with those.
Absolutely. Now, I do have to mention that this event has been supported and is continuing to be supported by Domino's Pizza, has been for many, many years. This is our 9th annual WGH Christmas party. And Domino's Pizza's number is 740-383-3030. So if you don't want to have the bird or the ham, hey, Domino's Pizza is not very bad at all. Mary Ellen had a little Domino's. Not bad at all.
Oh, it's great.
Very good pizza.
Yes.
Very good pizza. Pastor Craig, what's Christmas about to you?
Well, not to get too philosophical or serious about it. It's, for me, number one, it's, you know, taking some time to just thank God for all the blessings that we have throughout the year. But it's also a time for me, you know, you mentioned about people, you know, are a little bit more friendly and a little bit more welcoming and things like that. And to me, that's the time of year for every family has family members that they've got fractured relationships or they've got strained relationships. And Christmas is the time to reach out and try to repair those family relationships.
That's a nice sentiment because there is a lot of angst and friction between people all throughout the year. And it's nice if you can take one season and actually deal with each other instead of having these hard feelings. You know, years ago, somebody wrote in to the station and they said that they wanted to invite their mother to a Christmas party, but the aunt didn't get along with the mother. Or maybe they wanted to invite the aunt. And there was something, the two didn't get along. But the person hosting the party wanted both of them at the party. So what do you do when two people don't get along, but you want them both at your party?
I think you invite them mm-hmm. and let them work it out.
You don't tell them the other's coming?
Why tell them?
Oh, Glenn, that's all. Oh, your party's going to be ruined.
Not my party.
No, you don't.
My parties are always fun.
That's a recipe for disaster.
Well, you give them some hot toddy before you can bring them.
Before they come in the door.
No. That's
no.
The
see,
wrong
Linda,
thing.
I think that's you got to tell them.
That would be the wrong thing, right?
Yeah, you got to tell them that the other person's coming.
Then they won't come.
Well, that's what you. How do you get past that?
You don't tell them.
I don't know. Mary Ellen, that's a recipe for disaster, I think, when you don't tell the other person that the person they don't like's coming.
And they may.
That's bad when it happens. It's too bad.
You know, why can't people just get along? And you know, you don't have to have like a long, drawn-out conversation with the person, but maybe you can just say, hello, Merry Christmas, and then you can go on to somebody else and not have to have all this sidebar stuff.
Are you trying to ease Buckeye Guy into knowing that the Michigan guy is outside?
Well, how would that all go down? That would be a whole little thing. Well, Buckeye Guy.
Yeah, that would be pretty.
Buckeye Guy, what's Christmas mean to you?
Christmas means so much to me. You were talking about family. On the way up here, I had called and talked to my brother and sister, my two siblings on the way. Anytime I have a little nice ride, that's when I call. And also, let's talk about shopping. Linda talked about shopping. Shopping is so much more easier now, Scott. You go right over to Lowe's, you buy a $50 gift card, and everything is all good.
So you're a gift card guy.
Absolutely.
Oh, my. Buckeye. guy is a gift card guy.
And Mary Ellen was talking about the decorations. I've gotten away from putting stuff on the house, so I buy like little trees, LED light trees, and I put them in the yard. So that makes it so much more easier to put down, store. You don't got to get up on a ladder. I'm certainly not going to do that anyway. But Christmas is a great time of year. People are a little nicer, Pastor, just like you said. And not to be so philosophical. It's so nice to be here for another Christmas.
Absolutely. We're all glad to be here for the Christmas of 2-2-22. Now, we have something coming up here. It's one of my favorite things. Now, Mike Wilson, who's here, is going to do this. What it is... It's Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus.
Oh, my God, I can't wait.
And this is, this is such a great thing, because the question comes up every single Christmas, is there a Santa Claus?
Mm-hmm.
Mike, you want to go over there where Glenn is,
sure.
And
wherever,
you take that microphone?
Wherever,
sure.
Wherever it is.
And this is, because the kids this time of year will ask, is there a Santa Claus, is there a Santa Claus? And little Virginia O'Hanlon, back in the 1800s, late 1800s, sent this question. I believe it was the New York Sun. Does it say it on that paper?
Yes, it is New York Sun, yes.
What year is it?
2022.
Not 2022.
Oh.
No, no.
1997.
No, I don't think it was...
Or 1897, I'm sorry.
Just a few years ago. 1897. So Mike now is going to... We do this every year. Somebody reads this letter. Now, for everybody who wonders about Santa Claus, here's the definitive answer now for more than 120-something years. Take it away, Mike.
Dear editor, I am 8 years old. Some of my little friends say there is no Santa Claus. Papa says, if you see it in the sun, it's so. Please tell me the truth. Is there a Santa Claus? Signed, Virginia O'Hanlon, 115 West 95th Street. Virginia, your little friends are wrong. They have been affected by the skepticism of a skeptical age. They do not believe, except they see. They think that nothing can be which is not comprehensible by their little minds. All minds, Virginia, whether they be men's or children's, are little. In this great universe of ours, man is a mere insect, an ant, in his intellect as compared with the boundless world about him, as measured by the intelligence capable of grasping the whole of truth and knowledge. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He exists as certainly as love and generosity and devotion exist. And you know that they abound and give to your life its highest beauty and joy. Alas, how dreary would be the world if there were no Santa Claus. It would be as dreary as if there were no Virginias. There would be no childlike faith then, no poetry, no romance to make tolerable this existence. We should have no enjoyment, except in sense and sight. The external light with which childhood fills the world would be extinguished. Not believe in Santa Claus? You might as well not believe in fairies. You might get your papa to hire men to watch in all the chimneys on Christmas Eve to catch Santa Claus. But even if you did not see Santa Claus coming down, what would that prove? Nobody sees Santa Claus, but that is no sign that there is no Santa Claus. The most real things in the world are those things that neither children nor men can see. Did you ever see fairies dancing in the lawn? Of course not. But that's no proof that they are not there. Nobody can conceive or imagine all the wonders there are unseen and unseeable in the world. You tear apart the baby's rattle and see what makes the noise inside. But there is a veil covering the unseen world, which not the strongest man, nor even the united strength of all the strongest men that ever lived, could tear apart. Only faith, poetry, love, romance can push aside that curtain and view and picture the supernal beauty and glory beyond. Is it all real? Ah, Virginia, in all this world, there is nothing else real and abiding. No Santa Claus? Thank God he lives and lives forever. 1,000 years from now, Virginia, nay, 10 times 10,000 years from now, he will continue to make glad the heart of childhood.
Yo, that's a beautiful, beautiful sentiment. Yes. 1897, yes, Virginia O'Hanlon, the New York Sun, right? Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
Now, Linda, what do you think about when you hear that explanation of is there a Santa Claus? And it's my understanding Francis Church wrote that response, and Francis Church's wife had died, I believe, in the flu epidemic of that time. So he was an upset man, but he still answered that particular letter very well.
I think it has become a part of childhood, the imagination. And when you take away a child's imagination, then it's hard for them to see some of the magic that people want to present. You know, like there's a possibility that this Santa Claus does exist. Well, I believed it till I was almost 12 years old.
Well, I still believe.
I did. I mean.
Well, because you don't see something does not necessarily mean that it's not there. There are so many things in life that we have to take, we have to believe. You know, like the fairies and all those other things that were mentioned by Francis Church.
Yeah.
Well, do you see the wind?
No, you
don't
see
the
wind.
Sure. But you know the wind's there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You feel
believe
it.
It's there, yes.
You feel it.
Yes.
Yeah. Mary Ellen, it's a great piece that is held up now. I think it's the definitive answer about Santa Claus.
Yes, I think it is, too. It's something that we can really, I think, relate to.
You know, Santa Claus is a symbol in many, many ways of goodness and giving, which is what we should all try to do. You know, somebody told me one time in life, they said the secret to life is to give. And who's a bigger giver than Santa Claus? Mm-hmm. So there you go. Glenn, what do you think?
One of the nice things that this reminds us of is the innocence of the children.
Right.
And I think the innocence of the children is what Santa Claus and Christmas is all about.
Absolutely. Now, we have another tradition we want to make sure we get in at 36 minutes past the hour here. Now, remember, next hour is going to be the sing-along, so get real close to your listening device, however you're listening tonight, because we have got some great tunes we're going to sing. Now, we only do this once a year with the whole group here, but it's going to be a lot of fun next hour. Now, the next one here is "Twas the Night Before Christmas." Now, Pastor Craig is going to do the duty this year when it comes to "Twas the Night Before Christmas," but we have had so many people do this version on WGH here. Boy, from Ed Asner to Wilford Brimley to Pat Carroll, Gallagher. Boy, oh boy, we've had the whole spiel do it. Ted Williams has done it. Charlie Evers did it for so many years. Linda has done it. I've done it. And now, Pastor Craig, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas."
I was practicing singing it, but I'm not going to sing it tonight.
Oh, we wanted the singing version.
No, you didn't. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that Saint Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads, and Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw open the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. When, what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be Saint Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. "Now Dasher! Now Dancer! Now Prancer and Vixen! Oh, Comet on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen! To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all!" as dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with the sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my hand and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, and his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was white as snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose, and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
Very nicely done. One of the all-time greats, I believe, Clement Clark Moore did the 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Thank you, Pastor Craig. Very, very nicely done. You know, Mary Ellen, that's another standard. This time of year, you just, how many times you hear it, it screams Christmas.
Yes, it does, and it feels like you almost could do it without seeing it written.
Absolutely. Buckeye Guy, come on over here. When you hear 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, what does it make you think about, and what runs through your mind?
It brings back such a childhood joy, because the Christmas tree would be there, and the smells, the aromas, a lot of people, you know, and you got cooking in the air, and you know, whatever was on deck was always good, and it was a night before Christmas.
Now, when you were a little nut growing up,
yes,
what did you, the little Buckeye nut, what was your big Christmas wish and gift when you were young?
Okay. There were three. I got a guitar, and oh my God, boy, did I keep people up at night, Mary Ellen, I'm telling you. I never turned out being Jimi Hendrix or anything like that, but I had joy from it. And then one year I got a mini bike. Oh my goodness. And I couldn't wait to get on it. My mom says, "No, you got to wait till it gets a little warmer. You can't ride that in the snow," of course. But then there was something that I got that every little boy wanted. It was the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip. Oh my.
G.I.
That was it.
That took care of it.
Oh, that thing would, you could just stick him on a tree and he'd just hold it. And oh man, everybody wanted a little G.I. Joe, man. And so those were nice gifts.
Linda, when you were a little girl, what were you asking for Christmas?
I always got doll babies.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a doll baby that had a little Chester chest, and had like hangers, and her little dresses was hanging up on the hangers, and you know, you could change your shoes. So I guess I got into fashion long time ago.
So these
I
were
enjoyed that.
Now it used to be. Now I don't know if it's still this way, but people would dress up for Christmas.
Oh yeah, definitely.
They dressed for Christmas dinner,
yes.
And they. Now I don't know if that's still such a thing anymore.
My family does.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's nice when people dress up and do that. Mary Ellen, do you still see a lot of that, people dressing for the holidays?
Well, yes. You want to look good.
Yeah, that's right. You always want to present yourself well for this time of year. Now, what holiday tip for people to not get so stressed out, because we must say that there is stress that goes along with this time of year, Buckeye guy.
Mm-hmm.
How do we avoid the stress?
My mother always would clean. It was the strangest thing. Now, I came up in an era where she would go to the local store and buy a fresh roll of linoleum. And you'd roll the linoleum out and you'd tack it down. And then I've come when my grandmother would have a room and all of the furniture would be covered in plastic. Nobody was allowed in that room. And on special occasions, you know, your uncle would come in from the Army, the Air Force, and the Navy, and they were allowed in that room, and I couldn't believe it. So finally, I got a chance to sit on the plastic-covered chair.
Oh, my.
And it was so uncomfortable, you couldn't believe it.
Your pants on.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was something. No, and in the summertime, it would just sweat you to death.
You know, leave it to Glenn to knock us down a notch here on the holidays.
We love you, Glenn.
We're trying to be spirited.
I'm sorry.
Is that hat going to, is too tight around your head?
It is.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, it is the holidays, and we also should mention that a big part of the holidays are caroling and getting together in the songs. Now, we are going to sing next hour, but Linda, what's your favorite Christmas carol? I've never understood. What's the difference between a Christmas carol and a Christmas song?
One of them is biblical, though, I think.
Does one have to be biblical?
It doesn't have to be, but they are. Like, you know, Away in a Manger. Mm. Those are in your hymnal books.
Now, that's a song.
The First Noel. Oh, Little Town of Bethlehem. Now, they're in your hymnals.
Are those songs or carols?
Those are songs.
Oh, those are songs?
I don't think there's any difference.
No, I don't think there is a difference. I'm with Mary Ellen. I don't think there's a difference between a song and a carol.
May not be.
Because what would be a carol?
Well, it's...
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
That's a carol?
Thank you. I tend to think of those carols being like the wide range of, and you know, Santa Claus is coming.
Esther, there you go.
I think of those as Christmas.
Like jingle bells.
Yeah. But when you say, oh, I love Christmas songs, I tend to think of the hymns like, you know,
Come on,
yeah,
you faithful.
Yeah. Mm. They're in the hymnals.
Silent Night would be a song, though, wouldn't
it's
it?
It's in there. It's in the hymnals.
In the hymnals. Yeah.
You know, I recently learned that Jingle Bells was written for Thanksgiving.
Really?
Yeah. Jingle Bells is a Thanksgiving song.
Wow.
I didn't even know we had Thanksgiving songs. You know, Buckeye Guy came to the school and Master of Ceremonied Christmas trivia for the kids over at Harding High School. What an event that was, Buckeye Guy. Tell the listeners about that thing.
Some of the great young minds that I've ever met over at Harding. And it was unbelievable. The trivia was just riveting. And we asked about, what's your favorite Christmas movie of all time? And I found out, Mary Ellen, that it's age specific. I would always say, you know, It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
I watch it year in, year out. You know, oh, but then they were coming up saying, Elf, Buckeye Guy, it's Elf. That's my favorite movie.
Yeah.
You know, and then here again, The Grinch is from the 60s. I love The Grinch. You know, but most of the kids don't know The Grinch. It's the strangest thing.
Or they know the live version.
Oh, yeah, Jim Carrey. The Jim Carrey.
Yeah, they don't even remember
that. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
You know what's always been depressing to me? Because the one that I like every year, and it's one of the ones they didn't know because it's an old one, Miracle on 34th Street.
Boris Karloff.
But that movie, boy, that is... Mary Ellen, there's something... I know that It's a Wonderful Life is popular.
Yes.
But if... Miracle on 34th Street,
yes.
Santa Claus on Trial, and the ending to that movie, and I'm not going to spoil it. If you haven't seen it, go watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole movie is based on the ending, and it's a brilliant ending.
Bring
and you think about...
Mm.
No, don't tell people the ending. What'd you say?
You bring a handkerchief.
Oh, bring a handkerchief. Okay, I thought you said something else.
No, I cry every time I see
is that something?
Have you ever seen The Miracle on 34th Street?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, but isn't that wonderful at the end? Because we just did Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus. But that whole ending to that Miracle on 34th Street, you know, watch it. Watch it if you haven't seen it. I'm sure you can find it on the YouTube or the Netflix or somewhere out there.
Right.
And it's in color. Maureen O'Hara was the star of that movie.
Wow.
And she was a very talented actress.
Natalie Wood.
Yep. Now, she ended up with Robert Wagner on a boat somewhere.
Stuck.
Yeah. Well, not on the
Don't even get me started.
She went on to her reward where
he let her die.
But it's so important to have a good ending to a movie.
Isn't it though?
I'm disappointed when there isn't a good ending.
Yes. Well, that's why
that's true.
Those Hallmark movies, God bless their hearts, they're all the same.
Yes.
We all know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That girl, let me tell you, listen, I'm just going to fill everybody in on every Hallmark movie ever made.
Yes.
Here's what happened. There's a girl, and she's a hardworking, brilliant girl.
That's right.
And she doesn't want to go home for Christmas, but something happens. There's a tragedy. She goes home for Christmas, and then all of a sudden, she falls in love with some like, a shopkeeper.
Yes.
And she,
but at the warehouse.
At the warehouse. But she's got to leave. She's got to leave. Write this down, Glenn. This is very important. But she's got to leave. She's torn. So then she leaves and she goes back to the real world, her high-rise lifestyle, and she's depressed. She's depressed, and at the end she marries the waiter, and then they go off and it's happiness. And, and then there's another Hallmark movie, and they repeat that thing every single year. Yeah. But people love that.
Love it.
Yeah. But I don't love it, Mary Ellen. I want Miracle on 34th Street. I want a different ending to these movies.
Right. Well, you could have it. You know, you could pretend ends differently if you want to.
Does a Christmas, here's an interesting question. Does a Christmas movie have to have a happy ending?
Of course.
Ooh. I think you could ask that question about movies in general, but they don't even have to be a Christmas movie, but they're going to be a movie about a love story or something like that. Doesn't have to be Christmas, but yeah, it has to have a happy ending because that's what we expect. And if it doesn't have the happy ending, we're disappointed.
Yes.
Well, but
it didn't end the way I wanted.
That's it, Pastor.
Yeah, but Manchurian Candidate isn't a happy ending, but it's a good ending.
It's a good ending.
You know, here's a question I've had this year. A Christmas Carol with Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yes.
Now, that's a classic. That's a standard. They've made it 1,000 times. But now, here's what I guess this year, for the first time, I watch it every year. I watch the George C. Scott version because I think that's the best one. George C. Scott was brilliant. But you know what I never really thought about till this year?
That
you
know how patent also?
Well, no, he was patent. You're right. He was patent. That movie didn't have a happy ending either for old Patton. Patton didn't have a happy ending. No, but, you know, Ebenezer, they show him his past, and that doesn't change him. And they show him present, and that doesn't change him. And then they show him the future, and that doesn't change him. But then they take him to his grave.
Oh.
And when he sees his grave, he says, you know, spirit, is there any way I can change this? And all of a sudden, he loves Christmas then. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what I don't understand. I never thought about this. Why would liking Christmas extend his life any? Why did that turn him around? Not seeing the error of his ways when he was young, that didn't turn him around. Mm-hmm. Not seeing how people are living currently, you know, Tiny Tim, that didn't turn him around. Mm-hmm. But when he saw his gravestone, then he's turned around. But how does loving Christmas make his life longer? How's that going to prevent him from dying?
Love.
Linda, look at you.
Oh.
Love.
He's got a different perspective
yes.
on life.
When he's love. Faced Absolutely.
With the, when he's faced with the reality of death,
yes.
he gets a different perspective on life.
Yes. Yeah. Pastor. Let me go love everybody now, right? Yeah.
No. I got one question.
Mary Ellen, I don't think I buy this. I don't know. That's a little shaky to me. And if a different perspective, what is that again? That's like one of those Hallmark movies. A different perspective on...
People don't think about life. People don't really... People don't... They're not faced with their mortality. They're not faced with the reality of death.
Death.
Until they're close to it or facing it.
Right. Mm.
And in that instance, he did. And that's when you have the chance to reevaluate your
right.
life. Or some people, they have all their regrets in life. but it causes you to stop and maybe take stock of things like you never have before.
But he's still going to die, right?
Sure.
Yeah. He's not stopping.
Well, we all are, but you have a chance to repent and get yourself together.
And besides,
right?
It's
yeah.
a story.
Yeah, but I don't know.
A little bit of artistic license with when you're telling a story.
I just thought there should have been something different. I was thinking to myself, well, maybe there should have been something different that turned him around.
He didn't even like living.
He was
miserable.
Death
right.
In your face to turn people.
That's true. So true.
Well, I think that's true, but I also think he's still going to die, though. I mean,
you might as well enjoy yourself, though. Yeah.
On it, knowing that you're going to die.
Maybe he didn't know before.
And he had a chance to enjoy the rest of his life.
Maybe he was one of those cryogenics people who thought that he was going to, be around forever.
Yeah.
Oh, we're having another guest here. Very, very nice. Bob Welsh. Oh, come on in. More the merrier. Come on in. Come on in. The Christmas party's growing, folks. We have got, this is going to be fun. We've got a big presentation coming up here momentarily. This is going to be fun. We've never done this at Christmas before. And again, we do want to thank Domino's Pizza, who is our supporter tonight.
Yes.
Big supporter. Domino's 740-383-3030. Now, Bob, back in, when was it? This was September?
I don't know. You tell your story.
Well, I'll tell my story. Back in September of 2021... something was created called the Upper Crust Society. Now, Bob created this. Now, what this was you autographed a pizza dough, and then Bob took the pizza dough, and you solidify it in your freezer. Right, Bob?
Well, it solidifies in the oven when you're baking it,
yeah. Yeah, it's solidified.
Serve it afterwards.
Absolutely. Well, this was done this past year. And I did it in 2021, and this year, Buckeye Guy and Mary Ellen, both the day before Thanksgiving,
Upper Crust, if you will.
Upper Crust, signed the bun, or the pizza crust.
Yes.
So, Bob, we have the big presentation here, right?
Big presentation. I'm taking George is not back in town yet.
No, George is not. George is still out of town. Well, here we go. This is the culmination to the Upper Crust Society for Mary Ellen and Buckeye Guy. Now, remember, we're coming back to sing next hour, so don't go anywhere. Here we go. This is going to be a biggie.
Drum roll, please.
Upper Crust Society right here on the Christmas holiday. Look at this.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, my. Look at that.
Oh, my goodness.
That's nice.
The signature in the Guinness Book of World Records.
I got to get a picture of that.
It is nice.
Isn't that nice?
I tried spinning it, but I couldn't, so I...
Yeah.
Now it's a picture of Mary Ellen's pizza dough signed, and a picture of when she signed it, and then there is a quarter.
Quarter, because she helped redesign the quarter.
Absolutely.
No way.
Absolutely.
Mary Ellen.
Mary Ellen, there you go. Yeah. That is yours.
Thank you. Richard
Mary Ellen, a member of the Upper Crust Society now.
Upper Crust.
Beautiful.
All right.
Whoa.
Now, do we have any others?
No, I think we got one more, Bob.
Hey.
We got one more here for the holiday. Next member of the Upper Crust Society here.
And here.
Holy moly, this is an event.
You get a free carrying bag as well.
Whoa. There you go.
Okay, thank you.
Whoa.
That's so nice.
This is an event, I'm telling you. You don't want to miss this. This is a very exclusive.
And I'm going to leave George with you as well.
I will make sure George gets his. All right, here we go, Buckeye Guy. This is big.
Man. Oh, man.
This is a tearjerker. This is like a Christmas carol when Ebenezer sees his grave.
Oh!
Holy mackerel. It's a turnaround. Here we go.
It's just a turnaround.
It's a turnaround.
I'm not sure if I
can
want this as a headstone. Given the
here we go.
Wait a minute. Let me see.
Let's see this thing.
Oh my goodness!
Now, being the unique character that you are,
I am.
Yours is unique in this fashion.
Oh my! It's over.
Oh my!
Somebody get ESPN on the phone.
Oh, Christmas!
Being in their Hall of Fame does not compare to being in the Upper Crust.
Oh my! You heard it there. That's a quote. My goodness.
Whoa!
Christmas has come for the Buckeye Guy.
That is cute.
Isn't that something?
Yes. Very good.
Beautiful. Beautiful. You are tuned in. Somebody
take a picture.
We're going to take some pictures here during the break. We've got a whole nother hour. Everybody's staying. We're going to come back and sing. Get ready. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, man.
Mary Ellen's going to be here. Buckeye Guy, Linda. We got the whole Glenn, the whole bunch. Mike. Oh, it's going to be fun. Don't you dare switch that dial because we're coming back. Upper Crust Society and all kinds of fun. It is truly a happening here. Christmas is in the air here at WGH Talk. I hope you're having a good time wherever you are. And we're coming back with those great Christmas tunes you're not going to want to miss with the whole gang here, the choir. It's going to make you cry and get in. It's going to be like Ebenezer Scrooge all over again. Back in 10 minutes. Don't you dare go away.
DH Radio 107.1 FM, LP Marion, Ohio. Your place for holiday fun. For legendary Emmy Award-winning actor, best known for his